The Mishnah formulates a principle that not only is one not permitted to eat chametz on the holiday of Pesach, any chametz that was owned by a Jew during any time of Pesach may never be eaten even after the Yontif is over. The Talmud points out that there is a dispute among the Tanoim regarding the nature of this prohibition. One Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, is of the opinion that chometz, she'ovar olav ha-Pesach, chometz that was in existence during the holiday of Pesach, is biblically prohibited to be eaten even after the holiday is over. And according to his opinion, even if the chometz was owned by a non-Jew, one would not be permitted to eat it biblically even after the holiday is over. Obviously, this is not the accepted opinion, because we all have the practice of selling our chometz to a non-Jew in order to avoid violation of the prohibition of Bal Yerah Bayim Atzeh, that after the holiday we buy back the chametz, and we do eat it. Or we go shopping after Pesach is over in non-Jewish stores, and we all eat the chametz that it was in existence on Pesach. So the Talmud makes it very clear, the Mishnah makes it clear, that the accepted view is that of Rabbi Shimon, who disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. The Tana Rabbi Shimon says that the Torah only prohibits chametz from being eaten on Pesach. After Pesach is over, one may eat the chametz, and it's only a penalty of the Rabbanon, the rabbis, to discourage people from violating Bal Yerah Bayim Atzeh, to discourage Jews from having chametz in their ownership and their possession on Pesach, which is not allowed. So the rabbi said that if you violate this prohibition, we penalize you, and you're not allowed to eat the chametz, you're not allowed to gain any benefit from the chametz, you're not even allowed to sell it to someone else, or give it away as a gift to a non-Jewish neighbor, because you'll also be considered as gaining benefit. Your non-Jewish neighbor will repay your kindness if you give him a gift of chametz, which is also bahano. After Pesach is over, he will certainly repay you for that kindness in some way or another, so you're not allowed to give it in as a gift either. There is an opinion in later commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch that this penalty, that if a person owned chametz during the Yontif of Pesach and he was in violation of Bal Yerah Bayim Atzeh, we penalize him. And we say he's not permitted to eat. He's not permitted to gain any benefit from his chametz. But other people may eat the chametz that he left over. This is clearly not the accepted opinion. And in fact, it seems to be contradicted by passages in the Talmud. The accepted view is that this prohibition of chametz, the penalty, not only applies to the person who violated the Avera. No Jews are permitted to eat or to gain any benefit from this chametz that was in the possession of a Jew during the duration of Pesach. So we have a major problem. Sometimes you have a store that's owned by a Jew, or sometimes you have a corporation that's owned by a Jew, or there are Jewish partners, Jewish shareholders in a corporation. And the major corporations that are processing chametz, and we all buy all of this these products after Pesach. So this is a problem. So some of the poskim in Europe suggested a very shaky, questionable suggestion, that if the Jewish owners of the chametz are so non-observant, they don't even go to shul Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, they have no connection with Judaism whatsoever. So we have a rule in the Talmud that a mumer is dina kenochri, a Jew who's totally not observant at all. A Jew is married to a non-Jewish woman, doesn't keep Shabbos, Kashrus, anything. So we sometimes treat him as a non-Jew. So there is such a major opinion. There was a great Goyen, Rab Dovid al-Karlina, who lived 100 years ago. He was of the opinion that mumer dina kenochri would permit us to eat the chametz that was in the possession of a totally non-observant Jew during the duration of Pesach. This is a highly questionable kula, and most would not follow this position. Another lenient opinion was formulated by another goyen, Rabbi Tzale Ponovizhe, Rabbi Yitzchak Rabinowitz, who was the rabbi in Ponovizhe, the Rosh Yeshiva in Ponovizhe in Europe before the war. He formulated a different position, that if there are Jewish shareholders in a corporation who don't have that greater percentage of ownership, they have a 1%, 2% ownership. So even though we are machmer with respect to Bal Yerah Bayim Atzeh, that they should really, everyone should sell their shares, you shouldn't retain shares in a corporation which has chametz. And all corporations have chametz, even if it's a corporation that's selling clothing. They probably have a bottle of liquor in the office. So all Jews should really sell their ownership of chametz that they have through owning shares in a corporation. But b'diyeved, to penalize, to institute a penalty, to say that, to declare that we're dealing with chametz she'aval ba'pesach, that's hard to say. Why? Because Rabbi Yitzchak Leponovich points out, in order to violate Bal Yeroh Ba'imotzei, the Ramban Chumash and the Tosfos on the Gemara Pesachim claim, based on the passage in the Gemara, that one only is in violation of Bal Yeroh Ba'imotzei. It's forbidden to have chametz that I own. It's Shali u'birshusi. I own the chametz and I have easy access to it. If the chametz is Zeina Birshusi, even though it's Shali, even though the chametz belongs to me, but I don't have easy access to it, so then many Rishonim say that there's no violation of Bal Yeroh Ba'imotzei min HaTorah. Biblically, there's no violation. So if a person owns an insignificant amount of shares in a chametz corporation, so he can't really declare, that's Rabbi Yitzchak Leponovich's chiddush, he can't really consider that chametz as birshusa. He can't walk in and balabatava and say, give me a drink of schnapps or give me some cookies from the factory because I'm a partner in this corporation. I'm a shutav, I'm a shareholder. They'll throw him out. So because we would really consider it dobashena b'shusai, so maybe there's room to be makel to say that there's no penalty if the Pesach is over, of chametz over all of HaPesach. That's a possible consideration. Of course, this prohibition of chametz over all of HaPesach, because it's only midirabonon, that's the accepted opinion. It's not forbidden biblically, it's only prohibited midirabonon. So we have a rule that whenever you have a suffix derabonon, we go l'kula. Whenever we're not sure, let's say I go to the store, and they have, I don't know who the distributor is, I don't know who the owner, who the manufacturer is. It's hard to tell, it's hard to ascertain whether the distributor or the manufacturer or the storekeeper or the owner of the store, whether they're Jewish or non-Jewish. If it's easily ascertainable, you can just pick up a telephone to find out. They just look on the internet. So if the information is easily available. So that's not called a suffix de Rabbon Lekula. I'm just going to close my eyes and I'll say it's a suffix. I'm not sure. But if it's a real bona fide suffix, it's a suffix that's really difficult to ascertain. Even if you make a few phone calls, it's still difficult to ascertain. Or if you have some chametz, I know the owner of the store is Jewish, but the distributor is non-Jewish. And the owner of the store has a product that's chametz dik. Some of the products he had from before Pesach, some of the products he got after Pesach. And I can't tell which is which. You can't tell even if you look on the label. There's no way to be able to identify which products he had on Pesach and which products he got after Pesach. So if you have a real suffix ashokal, a 50-50 suffix, so we would declare that suffix derabbanan lekula. Now, if I know that some, let's say, has chametz dik ketchup, I don't know, and so some, I know for sure that some of the ketchup was there on Pesach and most of the ketchup came after Pesach. So then you know for sure that there's some chametz she'aval ba'pesach there. So that's considered a taruvah. So I have a mixture. So some of the ketchup is kosher, some of the ketchup is non-kosher. So then you have to know that you have rov. You have to have more than 50% of the ketchup on the shelf has to be kosher from after Pesach in order to say that the bottles of ketchup that were there during Pesach or from before Pesach are bottled beroy. But let's say I don't know if there is any chametz there from that he had on Pesach. It could be that everything that he has there is from after Pesach. If you're not sure, you're not sure whether this product has any chametz in it or not. So usually you can ascertain. You look on the label, on the ingredients, you can ascertain if it contains chametz. If you're not sure, so you call up a kashrus organization. They'll be happy to give you the information. They can probably ascertain whether it contains chametz or not. But if you have a product where it's hard to ascertain whether it has chametz and you have a suffix, and it's a 50-50 suffix, so then the rule is that suffix derabbanan is lekula. If you have a suffix on chametz she'aval ba'pesach, we would be lenient. There is a big issue. What if you have a storekeeper who puts up a sign in a store, and it's authentic, it's true, it's not a lie, that he authorized a certain rabbi in the neighborhood, or whatever, a rabbi, to sell his chametz, fine. But he runs business as usual on Pesach. He's selling the chametz on Pesach. Is that Mechiras Chametz valid or not? So Rav Moshe Feinstein has two tshuvas about this. So in his original essay that Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote, I think he was talking about the storekeepers from years ago. I remember years ago when I was growing up in the Bronx, there were Jewish storekeepers who were open on Chol HaMoed Pesach. They were religious. So they would sell all of the cornflakes and Cheerios and the Wheaties, all of the chametz. They would ask the rabbi to sell to a non-Jew. They would keep a sheet on top of all of those products, that are chametz, the cookies, grains, flour, whatever. They would keep a sheet on top of that, and they wouldn't be selling that on Pesach. And they would be selling fruits and vegetables, whatever other products they had, they would sell on Pesach. So Moshe Feinstein discusses in his tshuva, what if a non-Jewish customer comes in the middle of Pesach to the Jewish storekeeper on Chol HaMoed, and he insists he wants some Kellogg's Wheaties or whatever, he wants some cornflakes. And the Jewish storekeeper says, no, I can't sell it, it's my holiday. And the non-Jew says, you're not going to sell me the cornflakes. I'm going to go to somewhere else, to another store, I'm never going to come back again. So the Jewish shopkeeper, under the pressure, gives in to him, and he picks up the sheet, and he sells him some Wheaties or cornflakes. So Moshe Feinstein writes, in such a case, the mechiras chametz that the storekeeper did through the rabbi is a valid mechiras chametz. But the storekeeper went and he sold some of the containers of chametz on Pesach. So doesn't he show that the whole mechiras chametz was a fraud, that the whole thing was a joke? So Moshe Feinstein says, no. The Jewish storekeeper didn't want to really sell the chametz. Under pressure, he gave in. So what he did, in effect, was he was stealing chametz from the non-Jew who purchased all the chametz through the rabbi, and he sold it to the non-Jewish customer. He did an avera, but the storekeeper knows that he's really selling his chametz, and it doesn't negatively affect his mechiras chametz. In the later tshuva, Rav Moshe Feinstein is talking about a different kind of a storekeeper. Doesn't cover over the chametz dika products with a sheet. He's not telling his non-Jewish customers they can't buy any chametz. He just runs business as usual. He has deliveries of chametz, he's selling chametz, buying chametz, everything is regular. Except that before Pesach, he authorized the rabbi to sell his chametz. So Rav Moshe Feinstein goes a giant step past his original tshuva, and he says, even in such a situation, the fact that the balabos went to the rabbi and he sold his chametz to the non-Jew, we declare the mechiras chametz is a valid mechira, and the whole business that the non-Jew is running, and the whole business that the Jew is running in his shop on Pesach, is an act of gzeila. He's stealing from the non-Jew. So on this point, Rav Soloveitchik was very hesitant to go along with Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he thought, based on a passage in Chosha Mishpat and Shulchan Aruch, that the fact that the Jewish storekeeper is running business as usual, there seems to be a clear-cut indication that the whole Mechiras Chametz was a sham in the first place. Rabbi Soloveitchik thought that one should not rely on such a Mechiras Chametz, and after Pesach is over, we should really consider all of the Chametz that was owned by that non-Jew, by that Jewish shopkeeper who kept the store open on Pesach, as we should really consider that as Chametz Sho'ovah Olav HaPesach. A good Nyantav, everybody.